Welcome to the Harvest USA podcast, where we offer the transformative hope of the gospel to those impacted by sexual sin. Our passion is to equip the church to think biblically about God's design for sexuality, repentance, and life in Christ.
Can God's comfort compare to the pleasures of sin? Written by Caitlin McCaffrey. In this fallen world, we've all experienced suffering, distress, and anguish, and we've all sought relief in sinful ways. Maybe you're seeking relief from a stressful job through secret pornography use. Perhaps experimenting with opposite gender clothing makes you feel secure in a harsh world, or an unholy relationship has become your refuge when you feel forgotten and unknown by your spouse. Men and women walking away from sinful patterns often lament the loss associated with leaving their sin behind. And this makes sense because that choice sin feels vital. What our sin provides often feels like life to us. Through it, we experience comfort and pleasure. We feel loved, significant, and in control. But what happens when we give those things up? Does Jesus provide the comfort and pleasure sin once provided? Can God's comfort and deliverance really compare to sin's attractions? In Psalm 116, we're introduced to someone in agony. Now, we can likely relate to the psalmist's urgency and need. In verse 3, he says, "I suffered distress and anguish." In verse 4, he says, "O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul." In verse 10, "I'm greatly afflicted." And in verse 11, "All mankind are liars." Yet we also see the perspective in this psalm of one who's been delivered. He says in verses 8 and 9, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." He has received God's comfort, and it delights his heart. Well, first, let's talk about what God's comfort doesn't provide to us. The first thing is control. God does not give his glory to another. He's Lord of all. He's in control of everything, and his ways are perfect. Our hearts long to be little lords and to control our universe. When a single woman feels the sting of loneliness, she takes control over her feeling by watching things she knows are ungodly. When an older man doesn't have the sexual intimacy he desires with his wife, he seeks control by chatting with a much younger woman online. In contrast, the comfort God gives us is not something we can turn off and turn on to modulate our discomfort on demand. Receiving God's comfort requires a heart willing to submit to his ways rather than grasping for control. Second, God's comfort doesn't provide immediacy. Let's face it, modern life trains our bodies and minds for immediacy. 100 years ago, no one would have believed that I can now take a small device out of my pocket and within 1 hour, a person that I've never met will deliver donuts to my door. A big draw towards sinful patterns is the immediacy and relief they provide. In the words of a former Harvest USA staff member, God's comfort doesn't always rush with excitement in the same way sexual sin does. We must endure a painful period of learning to fast from sinful comforts to receive the true comfort of God. Number three, God's comforts don't always provide escape. Our sinful patterns operate as functional escape valves. We can simply opt out of feeling sad, uncomfortable, or angry by soothing our hearts with sexual sin. The way of Christ is a way of self-denial and affliction. Now, who wants to sign up for that? But take heart. God does provide a way of escape from temptation. He also provides himself as a refuge for our souls. But how do we taste this comfort? How does God comfort us? First, by his Spirit. John 14:18 tells us, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." How tender and personal is the comforting ministry of God's Spirit? The Holy Spirit also gives us counsel, as it says in John 14:26, promises to be with us forever, as it says in John 14:15, and ultimately, the Spirit points us to Jesus, John 15:26. Are you willing to let go of your own ways of seeking comfort to receive the far surpassing comfort of God's Spirit? Number two, God comforts us through his word. David says, "I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil," in Psalm 119, verse 162. Why would David write this? We see the answer in Jesus' words to the Pharisees. He says this, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." The scriptures are precious comfort because they bear witness about Jesus, in whom we have eternal life. God's word reveals Christ to us. Read his word and pray something like, "Lord, show me the beauty of Christ in the word." This will bring comfort to a weary soul. Third, God brings comfort through his people. The church is designed to be a source of help, comfort, and encouragement to the Christian. God's people are the hands and feet of Jesus to be used by God to comfort and help weary and afflicted believers. Safe Christians can provide a refuge in your pain and remind you of the truth when you're struggling and just weary with sin. Number four, God provides us comfort by faith. The life of the Christian is indeed a life of faith. We see this in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, much of the comfort we receive is by faith. Now, this seems to be one of the most difficult pivot points in getting free from ensnaring sin patterns. How our hearts long for the immediate, physical, and familiar when we're suffering and need comfort. Take heart, brother or sister in Christ. You will one day see Jesus face to face. You will have the comfort you long for in all its fullness. And what's more, your Savior will personally wipe away your tears. But what about you? What if you don't feel God's comfort? Maybe practically speaking, this all just sounds unrealistic. And I really can appreciate skepticism if you've never had an experience of victory over temptation through the felt comforts of Christ. I myself, at one point, deeply struggled to receive Jesus' comfort, his real comfort, and I longed to know what others were talking about. At that time in my life, I clung to Hebrews 12, where we see two benefits of submitting to the Lord's discipline. First, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And number two, and more stunningly, it says that God's discipline causes us to share in his holiness. You can find this in Hebrews 12, 10 through 11. For me, I had to embrace the mindset that I was being trained by the Lord himself. I started looking to a future yield, to that precious, peaceful fruit of righteousness that I heard about in Hebrews 12. This takes endurance. It means taking individual steps of faith, often without feelings, as you wait for your spiritual muscles to grow in your practice of communion with Christ. Sinful comfort feels immediately satisfying, But friends, it is an illusion. It will only draw you deeper into loneliness and despair. God's comfort sustains, protects, and nourishes your soul. Pray honestly today and ask, Lord, teach me to receive the comfort only you can provide. The Lord Jesus longs to answer you when you call out to him. I'll close with this. Isaiah 30:18 says, therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you.